And our theme has been 2 Timothy, called Fresh Air. So, and Paul visited someone one time. There's one over here. Paul visited someone one time, and Paul must have been down in the dumps, called the doldrums, what we've been talking about. And summer, we talked about the summer and getting out of the summer slump, and a lot of times the ending of the summer can be a summer slump, especially if you try to squeeze in a vacation before school began and all that that entails. Getting in and out of getting out of town takes a lot of work, and then sometimes vacations will not be as restful as you thought they would be. By the time you get back home, you need a vacation from your vacation. And we talked about the summer slump. Sometimes people can get into it at the end. And the key verse was, "May the Lord bless Onesiphorus and all of his family because he visited me, encouraged me often. His visits revived me like a breath of," everybody say fresh air. Like a breath of fresh air. We've been talking about, there's a sailing term they use, which is a geographic area in the world called the doldrums, which is where the northern and the southern hemisphere meet. And literally the winds blow in different directions and it cancels each other out. There's no breath. There's no wind. There's nothing. And sailors in the old days would not be caught there because they would die. There was no way to get out of that. We talked about that's literally a place called the doldrums. And we use that in our own life, in our vernacular today. Said, "I'm down in the doldrums." I know y'all use that term every day of your life. And so it's something called the doldrums. And we don't want to be down in the depressed. And we talked about getting out. And so let's pray. Father, we ask you today that you would touch our hearts, encourage us, refresh us, breathe on us, Lord. Let a breath of fresh air come in our lives. We love you with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted a good amen today, would you? Amen. Amen. You can be seated today. There's a word that we use in the English language called spirit. Everybody say spirit. The old King James word was ghost, but you know, we're more refined and we say spirit. And yet the word is so confined. The translation out of the Bible, sometimes the Hebrew and the Greek carry so much more than what our one little English word that the translators had to use is. And one of those words is spirit. Because when we say spirit, we can think of all kinds of things, from Casper to, horror movies to you name it. But the word spirit in the Hebrew and in the Greek carries with it such a depth that you need to get it. Because when a person that speaks Hebrew, or a New Testament Jew, when they were speaking Aramaic and some other languages, when they read this word, this concept that's translated spirit, it wasn't just that. It was so much more. And I'll expose to you. So your first little area there is the word ruach. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it's the word ruach. And it literally meant, this is a word that translated spirit in our translation. Ruach literally means a wind, a breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. Literally, it was more than just spirit. When they read it, and they understood it meant all of this, more than just the word spirit as confined as we're thinking. It literally was more than that. It was a breath of God. Unfortunately, we just get the word spirit out of it. But out of God's mouth comes this power, this breath, this excitement, this ability. It's when God breathes. It's the breath of God. It's literally all of this combined. And one reading, in fact, it's found in the very first chapter of the book of Genesis in verse 2. "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face, the surface of the deep." And the Spirit, everybody say the Spirit. Literally, when a Hebrew is reading that, they understand it meant the breath, the blast of fresh air, God exhaling. It literally meant God breathing. God breathed on the earth. God spoke, God breathed, and it was the blast of fresh air. In the New Testament, in the Greek language, there's another word, and it's called pneuma. And pneuma, translated spirit in the New Testament, means a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. That's what the word spirit means. So instead of defining spirit in our own mind, think of it like the Jews did and the Hebrews did, that it's a blast of fresh air. When it's the Holy Spirit, it meant the breath of God, God breathing out in power and excitement. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, you'll understand this. The Spirit gives what? The breath of God, the breathing. Remember when he breathed on Adam and Eve, or Adam, and he said, you know, breathe in them the breath of life. Jesus said the Spirit, the breath of God, gives life. Of course it will. That makes sense. Now listen what else he said. The flesh counts for nothing. The breath of God brings life. But the flesh counts for nothing. And let me say it this way. If you attempt the Christian life without the breath of God, it doesn't work. When you attempt to be a Christian without the breath of God, it absolutely will not work. You won't understand anything. You won't be able to do anything. You won't be able to overcome anything. The flesh, Jesus said, the Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. Notice what he says here. The words that I have spoken to you, they are full of what? The breath of God. They're full of the breath of God and of life. Listen, the Bible you hold in your hands is not a normal book. It's not ink on a page. It literally is the words of God, which are the breath of God and life. He said the book you hold is not a normal book. It's not a book like Mark Twain. You can't put the Bible on the bookshelf with all your other novels and think it's like them. This book is alive. This book has breath in it. This book is literally the breath of God. In the Armenian language, that's literally what it says, that the Bible is called the breath of God. And so Jesus comes, he said, listen, it's the Spirit, it's the breath that gives life. If you attempt your life in the flesh, it'll absolutely won't work. You won't understand it. It won't go anywhere. The words I've spoken to you, they're not normal words. They are a blast of air. They are a blast of fresh air into your life. They're life itself. The Bible itself, the words of God, actually has power in them. One translation, in fact, calls itself the Living Bible. So I want to talk to you this morning. One of the things I want to do at the outset, I want to put a blast of fresh air into your daily reading of the Bible. Some of you have stopped doing it because it means it's not happening for you. Some of you have stopped reading the Bible daily because you read it and it's like reading the newspaper. You know, it's like reading a novel. You do it, and I want to help you do that, put some fresh air. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit, and they are full of Spirit, full of life. The Bible literally has breath in it, and I want the book to come alive to you today. Now, the words I've spoken to you are a blast of fresh air. In Hebrews chapter 4, it literally says this. Watch this. For the Word of God is what? The Word of God is what? See, you never read the book of Mark Twain is alive, or you name the book you want to name. But the Bible claims that it is alive. The Bible claims that the book is not like any other book, but this book is literally God-breathed. That God breathed, it's full of life and full of Spirit. Spirit means the breath of God. It's literally full of the breath of God, and it's full of life. And so the Bible says, for the Word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Many times we read that and we think of it in a negative. It's, oh, he's going to go inside, see all the bad stuff, cut away, da, da, da. Let me look at it in a positive way this morning. Let me say it this way to you. The Word of God is not some ink on a page. The Word of God is alive. And it's so powerful, it's full of breath, it'll blast through any circumstance you find yourself into. Any problem you face, it's sharp enough to cut its way through and get you to the other side. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is living. Just come on, somebody, give him a good clap offering, would you? Come on. It is alive. Spurgeon one time was asked whether or not he would defend the Bible. He laughed and said, I'd no more defend the Bible than I would defend a lion, because a lion is powerful. He said, the Word of God is powerful. It can defend itself. Amen. They tried to destroy it for centuries, and nobody's ever been able to get rid of the Bible. You know why? Because it's not like any other book. It is alive. There's a reason why it's the number one best-selling book in all the world for many, many hundreds of years. You know why? Because it is, it's God-breathed. It's literally the living Word of God. It's God-breathing into this place. So now here's how I want to make your daily Bible reading the joy of your day. I want to make the daily Bible reading more than a check off on your to-do list. I want to make your daily Bible reading the joy of your life. So how do I do that? How do you get to where reading the Bible, and you ever been there where you read the Bible and you don't get it? You read the Bible and you don't understand it? You know why? Because Jesus said these words. He said, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. The flesh counts for nothing. It doesn't profit anything." You know what that means? If you try to read your Bible without the breath of God, it will not work. You won't understand it. It won't mean anything to you. You'll just read it and think, well, that was okay. I did my duty. Okay, God. I read the word. Okay, that's it. The Bible speaks about having the breath of God. I want to build a progression to where you learn how to make the Bible come alive to you. To where the joy of your day is reading the word of God. I hope I'll do that today. If we wanted the book to come apart, there's one element that we all know we need. And that first element is called faith. Everybody say faith. Write that in your first little line there. Faith activates the word. It's faith that activates this stuff. Faith is the thing where we begin to believe what we read. We finally believe and we take the leap that says yes. Faith activates the word. Hebrews 4 and 2, let me read it this way. Listen to what it says. "For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of what?" You ever had that happen to you? You ever came to church, not this church, but some other church, and that thing, I should have watched the Three Stooges. It's just no value to me whatsoever. Have you ever read the Bible in the morning and thought, I should have read the newspaper? The message that was proclaimed to them was no value to them. You ever read it and you don't, what did you read? I don't know what I read. I read something. I don't know. Somebody had so-and-so and then they killed so-and-so and they loved so-and-so. I don't know. I just read it. The message proclaimed to them had no value to them. What's this? To them, because. Everybody say because. They did not share the faith. Everybody say the faith. One translation says they did not mix it with faith. Unless your daily Bible reading is mixed with faith, unless when you come to church, you slept till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you got up, you know, and you dragged yourself into church, and you expect now for this magical thing to happen to you. How many know you got to come to church ready and prepared if you're going to receive from God? If you want to receive anything, you got to come prepared. You got to have something to get something. Kind of get a better amen. You got to be ready to receive, or you come in, you'll be dead letters on a dead head. Come on, somebody. The message they heard was of no value to them because they didn't share the faith of the ones that obeyed. There is a need of faith in your life to begin to receive. How many of you have ever had the experience where you read the Bible and it absolutely was no value to you whatsoever? So we need faith. How do you get faith? And I hope right now you're getting frustrated a little bit and saying, all right, I need faith. How do I get it then? If faith is what activates the word, how do I get faith? And that leads us to point number two, and that is revelation. Write that in there. Revelation activates faith. Everybody say revelation, would you? Have you ever been reading something that you read 100 times, and then all of a sudden you're reading it, and all of a sudden you go, Oh. You ever done that before? You know, they do the old thing, like, remember the deal about nobody, you know, you buy a certain car and a color and all that, and you've never, and they talk about it, some activation happens in your brain, suddenly you see that car everywhere. Everybody bought one of them. I thought nobody else had, I bought, look at that, there's one over there. You never noticed them before. It's just this, oh. I had a guy, we went, one time we flew to Honduras, and because we wanted to see one of the biggest churches in America, in the world, rather, that has small groups, is in Honduras. So we went and met with him. He has, I forgot how many thousands of small groups. But he had the most interesting story because when he wanted to start small groups, He went to Korea to see Dr. Cho. He has the largest church in the world, almost 1 million people. Largest cell group ministry in the world. And he went there and he said, you know what? I filmed it. I took a camera, filmed it. And he said, I wasn't impressed. Nothing meant anything to me. I didn't get it. He said, but I made it. I edited it down to about an hour worth of video. He said, I went back home, all my leaders. He had about 10 different groups of leaders. And he said, I began to meet, have them all come, and then I showed them the hour-long video. He said, we went group number one, group number two. He said, somewhere around group number seven or eight, he said, I'm watching this video. And he said, all of a sudden, I went, oh, come on, somebody. Oh, oh. I see it now. And what happens is revelation is what activates faith, that activates the word that really things go wild. So they're in fact, what's interesting in the Greek language is there is a Greek word for that oh moment. Now, let me get confused. But in the Greek language, there is two words for the word. Did you follow that? In the Greek language, there are two words for the word. And one of those is the word logos, and the other one is rhema. And the word logos literally means words on a page written. That's what it means. Words on a page, it literally means written word. It's just on paper. You read it like you would read a novel or a book, and you remember it. You intellectually have it. And that's where so many people stay. They get their Bible out in the morning. They read their daily Bible reading, and it's logos. It's words on a page. It's ink on a page. They read it, check their to-do list, read my Bible, thank you, God, give me the star. That's it. I've done my duty today. That is the word logos, and the logos level of understanding. That's where a lot of people. But the other one is the word rhema, and the word rhema in the Greek language is that that's the word rhema. It's a revelation. It's where you looked at something and you never saw it, but then you see it. It's the eureka. It's where that's what it means. And I want to show you an example in Scripture, and I think it'll help you because I'm trying to get you to get this point. What I don't want to happen is another morning where you get up and you read the Word and you think it doesn't work. I don't know why all these people get excited about the Word. They tell you to read so much of the Word. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, I read it, but I mean, after I leave from work, I can't tell you what I read. I get to work, I know I read it, but what was it? It was like the deal about what pastor preached. I don't know, it was good. It was something he preached about the Bible. It was something about the Bible today. That's what he preached on. Have you had those moments? And I want to show you because you find yourself in the spiritual doldrums where there's no breath, there's no fresh air, there's nothing happening in your life. And what happens is the devil will try to make the world more appealing to you during those times, where reruns of the Three Stooges will mean more to you than going to church. Going to the beach is more appealing than going into the house of God. And I want to show you up in the Bible reading this morning that how the Bible will come alive. You need faith. And there's an example of this happening from going from a logos to a rhema in the story of Mary. Mary is a young girl. Most scholars believe she's between 13 and 16 years old. She's just having a great day. She's minding her own business. And all of a sudden, Gabriel, the angel, shows up. And he says to her, behold, Mary, favorite of God, you have a baby and it's going to be God. That's kind of the condensed version of what he said to her. You're going to have a baby and it's going to be God that you're having. It's going to be God, the baby. And the Bible says she looked at him. And it was logos to her. It was logos because she said, what? How can this be? I've not known any man. What are you talking about? How many has ever been there? You read it, you heard the words of God, and you went, what? I don't understand it. I don't get it. I've never had a relation with a man. What do you say? I don't understand what you're saying. And a lot of us stay on that logos level where there's no revelation. We hear it, we read it, but we go, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? I don't understand what you're saying to me. I don't get it. I don't know how this could, I don't understand it. And I love this because you know, she says it, and it was a Logos at that point, but here's what I love. The angel said, and I love it. You can read it. I don't have time to read it, but the angel said, everybody say the Spirit. He said, the Spirit, the breath of God is going to overshadow you. And that thing that will be born in you will be called the Holy One of God. That the breath of God is going to come on you. The blast, the current, the fresh breath is going to come on you. That thing that will be born in you. And I'm going to tell you, when he said that, I believe God breathed like he did Adam and Eve. He breathed on this young girl. I believe when the angel spoke it, the angel that was empowered by God, Gabriel spoke that the Spirit will come upon you. And I believe with all my, I believe the Spirit of God just breathed on that little girl. And you know what? And listen, you got to get this. Look what the angels. Here's the last line the angel said. Some translations you read, for nothing is impossible with God. Remember, that's the last word that he said. But let me give you two in the NIV language so you get it. Because the word nothing is not just one Greek word. It's two Greek words. And it's literally, everybody say no word. He didn't. The angel didn't say nothing is impossible with God. Here's what the angel said, literally said, when he spoke. He says, no. And guess which one of those two words this word is? Logos, or guess which one? Everybody say it? He said, you know what the angel said? No rhema from God will ever fail. He didn't say no logos. He said, when it becomes a rhema to you, when it goes from logos to rhema, when it goes, when you have that, no rhema will ever from God will. Come on, somebody, give him a good clap on, would you? He says, no rhema from God will ever fail. Nothing is impossible. And look what happens. It literally went from her being a logos. Listen to her words now. I am the Lord's servant, answered Mary. May your rhema, come on, be to me fulfilled. And the angel left. You know what it went from her? She's sitting there, logos. How's that going to happen? I don't know anybody. What do you mean? What's going to happen? Hold on. And they said, the breath of God. And then the angel said, and I believe he saw in her, And I believe that's when the angel said, no rhema from God will ever fail to come to pass. And the little girl said, oh, Lord, let thy rhema be fulfilled. Come on, give another good clap off. Come on, give one more good clap off. May your rhema be fulfilled. That can happen to you every morning of your life. Every day, every night of your life, you can have a rhema from God. And no rhema that's ever given you will be failed by the living God. It will happen to you. Now, I hope you've got frustrated again one more time. Because you think, well, then how do I get? Okay, sounds good to me. Oh, sign me up. I want a rhema. How do I get a rhema? How do I get that? I'm trying to put some wind back in your Bible reading so that you don't just go through the motions, but literally it becomes the joy. No more doldrums. How do I get faith? Well, you need a revelation. You need to go, oh, I get it. So how do you get a revelation? And here's the kicker. The way you get a revelation, number three, is meditation activates revelation. Meditation is an important word. It is what activates revelation. What does meditation mean? You don't just come to church, take some notes, and then I can't wait till next Sunday to take some more notes. If you ate one meal a week spiritually, you're going to be ugly and skinny. Come on, somebody. If all you do of all the Bible reading is, I read my Bible in the morning, check off my to-do list, and then you don't think about it again, you ain't going to get no revelation. If what you do is at one time real quick in the morning, brush your teeth, and you do it, that's a good scripture. And next thing you know, you wait till tomorrow morning to brush your teeth and read the Word. Some of you read on the way to work, is that right? Okay, so you're going to run right down the road, get the Word back out, you read. if you think you're going to get a revelation, if you think it's going to go from Logos to Rhema, you're living in an unreal world. The way it goes, the way you get a revelation, the way it goes from Logos to Rhema is you meditate. And in the Hebrew language, we brought this, the Hebrew language, the word for meditate is literally a cow chewing its cud. That is the word meditation. It's when a cow chews its cud. And for those of you that are city folk and never been on a farm, you have passed a farm at some point in your life. And you have seen cows sitting under trees. They go under, they find a little shaded area, and they sit there. And what are they doing? And like my dog, when he gets under a tree, he just lays down, you know, he's dead to the world. A cow, when you go by a cow, here's what a cow is doing. He's laying under a tree, here's what he's doing. You know what he's doing? He ate some grass earlier. He's out in the field, swallows it. Sunday morning, he's out in the field, and he swallows it. Sunday afternoon, he gets up under a tree, and he throws it all back up. And he eats it a second time. Swallows it. Somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock, guess what he does? He throws it all. He regurgitates. He brings it all back up. Everybody say meditate. What's for lunch? Come on. And just think about this. And when the Hebrew uses this word meditate, that's what it means. It means what you read in the morning, you think about it, and you either write it down, you think about it again, you talk about it during the day, you bring it back up, you re-eat it, you talk about it, you think about it, you get the little notes you got out, you pray about it, you pray over it, you meditate on it until it comes to that moment, maybe the seventh time you're watching the video, that nothing meant anything up to that point, and you go, oh! I'll never forget the first time over on Wooddale Boulevard when I first started coming. I got back in with the Lord. I had listened to teaching and I was taking notes, and I'd been there for months, and I'd been taking. I remember that moment when my pastor Randy said something, and I remember that moment that I had one of those. And what happens is that will not occur if you do not learn how to meditate. Here's the point. So many of us never let the Bible get to that point. We just read it a time or two and then we forget about it. We read it in the morning, we take off. Joshua 1 says it this way. Where the words become spirit and life. Watch this. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all my law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, the right or the left, that it may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Everybody say meditate. Meditate on it on Sundays and maybe every other morning. Is that what it says? Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written. Then, everybody say then. Then you'll be prosperous and be successful. Everybody wants what comes after the then, but nobody wants to do what comes before the then. Find out what comes before the then if you want what comes after the then. And what comes before the then is meditate, gurgitate, think about it, pray about it, read it back again, put it on your hands, take it on note cards, put it on your whatever it may be. We have a, if you don't do the daily Bible reading with us, we've got it on our website. You can go every day, what most of us read through every day. You can go on the website, get it and meditate on it. Read it in the mornings, take it to work with you. One of the fun things I love to do is take my Bible all around with me. Oh, I love, you know, I'm, you know, there's very few people other than me has their Bible when we're sitting in there changing oil. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the best things. You know that little big room they put you in when you get your oil changed? I pull my Bible out. Some of them are just sitting there reading, looking at their phones, playing, looking, reading People magazine. I just whip the Word out, start reading it. Yeah, I can tell the looks. What kind of weird, what kind of fanatic over there is. I'm going to tell you, I'm the only sane person in the whole place. I mean, that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. The rest of them are reading rubbish. That's a word my father like, rubbish. If I say rubbish, it's rubbish. And I'm reading the word. You know why? Because I've got to regurgitate this stuff. Boy, pastor comes easy. I just regurgitate all the time. Jasmine, we talk all the time. What you see this morning? What I see? We talk about. We just pass. The Lord showed me this. No. I'll tell you a better one. The Lord showed me that. You think about it, and all of a sudden it goes from logos to rhema to revelation. Meditate, then your way will be prosperous. Okay, so let's get practical this morning. Let me give you end up by this morning. Give you three things. I believe that if you'll do them, it'll make a difference. It'll bring joy to all that you read. The meditation process will lead to revelation, and revelation will activate the faith, and your faith will activate the word, and you'll be a dangerous person that day. Number one is this. You've got to settle into your mind. You're going to accept its authority. You've got to come. Number one is you've got to accept. Go ahead and put that up. Accept its authority. That's number one. We have a little bit of problem with that. Accept its authority. You know, unfortunately, we live in a generation that has intentionally attacked the validity of the Word of God. Hollywood mocks it. Movies mock it. What's more disturbing is even churches devalue the Word. A recent survey showed that 93% of all the churches in America believe that the Bible has flaws and errors in it, and parts of it need to be discarded. 93%. I'd like to announce this morning, I'm happy to be of the 7%. Come on, somebody. From cover to cover, it is the Word of the living God. I've staked my life on it. I live on it. It's the breath. It's the breath of God. It's not some other little book that we can choose. The problem with society is it wants to change the Bible to fit it. I think we ought to change to fit the Bible. How many say amen? Because it is real. It's God breathed. God put it there. All in all, you've got to come to the place where you accept the Bible and literally believe it. Because you need to ask the world sometimes, look at the fruit of what you're doing. Look at the fruit in the schools of secularism. Look at the fruit of it around the world. Look at the fruit that's happening in marriages. Look at the fruit of what you believe. Number one, look at the scripture. The scripture says this, make it authority of your life. 1 Thessalonians says, we thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as Pastor Terry's sermon of the morning. You didn't take it as, you accept not as human word, but as it actually is, the rhema of God, which is indeed at work in you who have faith for it. Have meditated, turned into revelation. Revelation activated your faith. Faith activated the Word, and then the Word became a blast of fresh air in your life. When you activate, when it happens, it says that. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is what? Here's our word. Here's our word. All Scripture is God breathed. It's God breathed. It's literally settle the issue of the authority of it in your life. Number two, make it a part of your everyday life. Make it a part of your everyday life. Cannot be a Sunday book or only every early morning book. Make it, whether you carry it electronically or physically, it doesn't matter. Take the Word of God with you everywhere you go. Make the Bible as important as your phone. How many people get a mile away from home and say, oh man, I forgot my phone. Turn around, go get your phone. Wouldn't it be great if you thought, oh man, I forgot my Bible. I've got to turn around, go get my Bible. Did you know if you get it, it can happen. That can be a part of it. That can be a part of it. You can literally become so important in your life that you're not going to go anywhere without your Bible. You won't even leave with that. You'll take that. Listen, get it into your life. One meal a week, you know, makes you, you know, I said skinny and ugly. You need to get the Bible in you every day. And you need to start practicing memory, memorize scriptures. We've got lots of scriptures that we memorize. Many of you know this week I got put back in the hospital a while, and they went back up in my heart, and I had some pain. You know, guys don't tell about it, and it got pretty bad. So finally I went, and they put me back in the hospital. They went back up in my heart, and they keep you awake, and they put Valium, all this. And this time when they got to the blockage, dial the pain medicine up a little bit more, I said. And so they dialed up, knocked that thing out, put me out at 90% blockage again. They knocked it out. But Jasmine's out in the waiting room. And Jasmine just got finished reading. She's in the book of Psalms. And she reads this verse, "My heart is fixed, O God." Oh, everybody say, oh. And when she got that, the nurse came out the door right immediately and says, "We found the blockage. He's fine. He'll be out in a little bit." Come on, somebody. You need to get a rhema from God. Oh, when our kids started driving, we got a rhema from God. That was, God, you were blessed. Our coming in and going out every time they pulled out of the driveway. I said, oh, God, loose the angels. I've seen them drive. Loose the angels of God around them right now. Man, when you go to the dentist, you can put that verse. Crown him with many. Oh, that's not a verse. You can do all kinds of things. So you get a verse. You know, when you have financial problems, my God shall supply. Demonic. Greater is he to me than he is in the world. You need to get a verse, a rhema verse, not quote somebody else. You remember when the seven sons of Sceva, they heard Paul preaching about Jesus, and they went and they got a demon-possessed man, and they said, "We command you to come out." Man's full of demons. "Come out by Jesus whom Paul preaches." How many know that's not a logo? That's not a rhema. That's a logos. They only got a logo. They doing what somebody heard. And the Bible says that demon looked at us. "I know Jesus. And I know Paul. But who are you?" And the Bible says that demons jumped on those men, stripped them naked. They get running for their lives. But when you get a rhema from God, it becomes real. My cardiologist wouldn't be happy with me right now, but I suppose it's not. So everybody say amen. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy 6. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast. That's the one Jasmine had. Go to the next scripture if you would. The meditation of God. This is the meditation. Now go to the next. I'm sorry. I got her all mixed up back there. Deuteronomy 6 and 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. He said, take the word of God with you. Do your work. Do your business. On and on. One time, and a guy told me I couldn't have a Bible where I worked. I said, well, how come you let them have Playboy magazines back there? And the man said, well, they got good educational sections to them. That's what he told me. I said, really? I said, this got better educational systems right here. And I told him, I said, if you want to fire me, fire me. I said, but I'm going to take my Bible. I'm not pushing on nobody, but I'm going to read it. And they moved me to an office. I had to sit right by the front door where everybody comes in and out. So I put my Bible right there by the front door. Come on, somebody. You take it with you, bind it with you. Don't make it a morning thing. Don't make it a Sunday thing. Make it a everything. If you want this thing to, if you want a blast of fresh air in your life, meditate, regurgitate. Let it become a part of you. Then the last one is put it into practice. Put it into practice. Just do it. If it says forgive, forgive. If it says, you know, love, love. If it says go, go. If it says give, give. Do whatever it says to do. John 13 and verse 17, it says this. Now that you know these things. See, you know a lot of things this morning. You know these things. Happy are you if you come next Sunday and sing about them one more time. Is that what it says? Happy if you think about them. Happy are you, blessed are you, if you just say, yes, praise God, I'm with you, Pastor. I agree with that. Happy are you if you do what? Do them. Do them. Look at the next scripture. Do not merely listen to the word, and so you deceive yourselves. Do. Everybody say do. Do what it says. All right, lay everything aside this morning. Take a minute. Let's take a minute and do what the Lord has asked. Some of you, you're on a journey to find God. I mean, that's where you are. You're just on a journey. Just close your eyes. Just, you can go out the bow your head. Just close your eyes, man, because I want to talk to you just by yourself. Not your husband, your wife, your kids, your aunt, your uncle. I want to talk to you. You're just on, you're on a trip. You're on a journey to find God. I mean, that's where you are. You haven't gotten there yet, but you're on a journey. You're hungry. You want to do it. And so one of the keys this morning is I'm going to ask you, where are you? The Bible says that God will not always strive with man, but he is right now. He's striving with you. God is asking. God is coming. God's knocking on the door of your heart. You know you're away from God. You've either been, you've been there or you have never been there, but you know your current condition is not where it ought to be. And you've been putting it off and thinking I'll do it next Sunday, I'll do it the next one. But right now, I just want to challenge you to do it. I'm going to ask you right now, if you've got any heart for God and you want God to change your life, he'll come in and he'll go from a logos to a rhema. God will make a difference. God will come alive to you to where literally God becomes the your best friend, and he becomes the light of your life. He becomes everything you've ever known. It's more than just becoming religious. It's meeting a person. It's coming realizing that there was the Son of the living God, Jesus, came to earth, died in your place, and more than knowing about it historically or mentally, you know him. You know him. You intimately, there's this, I know Jesus. I know him now. And all of us that are saved, not that we were any better or did anything differently. We just came to that point where we met him. We met the Master. We met Jesus, really. We met him. Honestly, we actually met him. And he's real to us. And so that's the key of that life. He that has the Son has life. And he does not have the Son of God, does not have the life, the breath, the life of God. This morning, if that's you, the Bible says this is something all you have to do is ask. It says ask and you'll receive. Ask and he'll give it to you. Ask it. I want the musicians to come on up. Would you come on? Maybe the Lord is speaking to you and you know you're not where you ought to be. Would you just pray this prayer? And it's a very serious prayer, but it's an easy prayer. It will cost you everything, but it's easy because you just have to. The Bible says, all that come unto him, he'll in no wise cast out. If you ask him, he will do it. This is one of the easiest prayers you'll ever do in your life, but it will. Is it costly? Absolutely. Is it serious? Absolutely. But is he willing? Absolutely. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to come into your life this morning. I want everybody to say these, just pray with me out loud. And if you are praying for this for yourself for real, then you just make it your own. Would you say, everybody pray with me. Say, Dear God, I ask you this morning to save me. I've been going my own way, and I don't really know you. But I want to know you this morning. Reveal yourself to me. Make it real. I want to know Jesus. I want to thank him for dying for me and forgiving me of all my sins. I want him to be Lord of my life. Take control. Take over. Everything I have is yours, Lord. I repent and I make you Lord of my life in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? Everybody stand up. Would you bring the lights down a little bit this morning? I want to do that song for Nothing is Impossible. We'll do that. You know, the Bible says when that angel finished his last line to little Mary and said, nothing, when we sing this song, nothing is impossible. Remember, it really means no rhema. No rhema is impossible. No rhema is impossible. Would you do that? Come on, let's sing. Let the word down meditate on you a little bit. Come on, sing. Lift your voice.
Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world.
Sing it again. Come on.
Your hand. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your
hand. Come on, sing.
Nothing
is
nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you.
Come on. Sing it one more time. Come on. Say it with your heart. Say,
nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. It's you hold my world.
Come on, give a great clap offering this morning. Come on. Come on, give him a great clap offering. Lord, we thank you this morning. Oh, the word is nigh thee. Let me bless you today. Father, I bless this congregation. Lord, I ask your face to shine on them. I ask you to be gracious to them. I ask the favor of God to be upon them. And I pray, God, this week, that as they begin to meditate upon the word of God, I ask you, Lord, that it would begin to activate a revelation. And then I pray that revelation would activate faith. And that faith, Lord, would activate the word. And I pray, Lord, that then that word would be sharper than any two-edged sword. It would go through every problem, every circumstance, every situation they face. It would be a blast of fresh air. Lord, the words that you would speak would be that to them this week. That it would be a rejuvenating. It would get them out of the doldrums where they're stuck at. It would bring them out to a new place in you. We thank you, Lord, that the best days is yet ahead. They're not behind. God's got great things in store for you. We bless that in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Give one more good clap offering, would you? All right, turn around and give somebody a good high five this morning, would you? God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night at prayer.